Go to John 3, please. And then we're going to go to John 13. But I'm going to share John 3:16 out of the Good News Bible. And I'm going to share John 13 out of the Voice translation. John 3:16. We're going to go to 16 and 17. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his, this is important, folks, for God did not send his son into the world to be its judge but to be its savior. And since we're his representatives, we're not called to be judges. We're called to lead them to the Savior. We're not the Savior either. We're the channel that leads from, that leads them to the Savior. John 13. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you are my, will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Okay? Now let's go to Luke 10, because when we started out, and I'm going to share this in four different translations, because we started out talking about the power team, and then we were talking about power outage. Okay? But Luke 10:9 happens to be one of my more favorite scriptures. It says, "Behold," in King James, "I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." I like that part. All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Phillips translation says, "It is true that I have given you the power to tread on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the enemy's power. There is nothing at all that can do you any harm. Yet it is not your power over evil spirits which should give you such joy, but the fact that your names are written in heaven." The Amplified. You guys know how much I like this translation of this scripture. "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any ways harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven." The Voice. I'm saving the message for last. "I've given you true authority. You can smash vipers and scorpions under your feet. You can walk all over the power of the enemy. You can't be harmed. But listen, that's not the point. Don't be elated that evil spirits leave when you say leave. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Now we get to the Message Bible. "See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same," listen to this, "the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you." See, when we understand God's authority over us, we'll get excited. Because it's because of his authority over us that nothing can harm us. Because when they come at us, guess what they run into? His authority. Not our authority. His authority. And then it's by his authority that we can tell Satan where to go, how to go, and what to do when he gets there. Okay. The great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. See, it's not the things that we do. It's all the things that God does. It's why we should be rejoicing. See, so it's clear that we have power over anything and everything. And we found out some definitions of power. You know, the ability to do or act is very simple according to the dictionary. Control in government, it's delegated authority. And in that scripture, behold, I give you power, the word is exousia. And there's a whole litany of definitions of that word. You can look them up. But the one that he wanted me to highlight was the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. That's the kind of power that he gave us. But you think about what were his first commands to us? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. He gave us that from the beginning. We lost it, he just gave it back. It's just that simple. We have the power where our will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. That's one of the reasons, folks, why it's so important to make sure we say the right words. Because what we speak is going to work. So you start muttering negative words. These words don't know that they're bad for you. All they know is you said it. They have to do it. I mean, you willed it. It has to come to pass. And you're wondering what's happening. Get control of your mouth. Start saying the thing. As Ben said, we've got to start being obedient to what God said. We have to understand, you know, our power team really consists of you and your faith. That's all you need for anything. Why? Look at Matthew 16 quickly. While you're turning there for time's sake, I'm going to share it in the Message Bible. This is the account when you know, Peter asked them, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. I'm in the Message Bible. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy, power, that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. So why are we walking around saying they won't let us come in? When Jesus said, we are so expansive with energy that even the gates of hell cannot keep us out. So why are there places we're unwilling to go? When we think about it. Since we have all of this power, all of this energy, that nothing the enemy does can stop us, you would think we'd be willing to go anywhere at any time. Just because God said so. That's all. That's all we need. We need a go from God, and that's it. Anything that's in front of us, we'll have to get out of the way or get run over. Because our attitude is, we're going. We're going. Because Jesus said, I'm telling you who you really are. But he said, and that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. So that has to mean whatever we need, we have the key to unlock the door where it's kept. You need money. You have the key to the vault. Go open the door. You need a miracle. Guess what? There's a room up there called miracles, of which you have the key. And unlock it, get your miracle. But if you throw the keys away, or you decide, well, God must have changed the lock on me. No. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. Period. Period. No more barriers between heaven and earth. And heaven, and a yes in heaven is a yes on earth. A no on earth is a no on heaven. Why? Because we are the church. But we also found out that sometimes we wind up void of his power. And we talked about that in the case of the demon-possessed boy. When he took his son to Jesus' disciples, and the Bible says they couldn't do a thing for him. Why not? He had already given them power. So they should have been able to cast that demon out. They should have been able. And they went to Jesus and they wanted to know, well, why couldn't we do it? And I'll tell you, Jesus said to them, he's like, okay, you really want to know why you can't do this? Because you're not yet taking God seriously. And that's why some of us experience a power outage. That's why I've experienced power outages. Because I haven't been I haven't taken God's words seriously. And when you don't take God's words seriously, you don't have that flow of power through you. And then it's like snakes and scorpions are biting you all over the place. And you don't know what to do about it. Well, you're not taking God seriously. Because Jesus said to him, he said, no sense of God. That's what he said. And when we talked about that several weeks ago, we learned a new word. Was it anagalos? Where it just simply means similar. In other words, if our minds are anagalos with God's, then his thoughts are our thoughts. And that's what Jesus was telling me. He said, you're not thinking like God. And because you're not thinking like God, you're not doing the things that God does. He said, no sense of direction, no focus to your life. We haven't been keeping Christ as the central, the focal point of our lives. We've been thinking about other things. That's what it talked about in the parable of the sower. So when we look at all of those, when we put them together and we realize, if I'm not keeping Christ as my focus, if I'm not getting the mind of Christ, and if I'm not thinking like God, I'm not going to make godly choices. And if I don't make godly choices, it's not going to result in godly power. And the things that I expect, I'm not going to see. And I may think it's because God's no longer with me. No, it's because he's still in the same place. I'm looking in the wrong place. He's still there in all his splendor and all his fullness and everything that makes God God. But I'm like Peter. I'm looking at the waves and the sea and considering the wind and taking my eyes off the one that gave me the command to come. I've forgotten that everything I need to accomplish, it was in the command. So if I just focus on completing the command, everything else will fall in line. regardless of what it is, from the smallest to the greatest. We put too much emphasis on people and what they do and say, and not on what God has said. And because of that, there are places we won't go, there are words we won't release, there are hands we won't lay. And all of these things were commanded to us to do. Which brings me to where we're going today. Would you go please to Genesis? Genesis 12. God speaking to Abraham, he said, I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. I'm in the Message Bible. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I'll curse. All the family of the earth will be blessed through you. Say through you. Okay. The Good News Translation says, I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you, and through you, say through you, I will bless all the nations. See, so God is saying something to Abram or Abraham. He's saying, Abraham, you're going to be my channel to bless nations. Some translations say your descendants will. You know, some translations say in you. Study all that out means God is going to go through Abraham to the people. That's what he's going to do. We'll go to Mark 16. Good News Translation and the Names of God Translation. He said, why don't you just use the King James? I don't know. He tells me to use these other translations. And so I use them. As I said before, I'm not trying to get people to go, man, he really knows all the different translations. No, I go to the computer and find them. And when I study, a particular verse gets highlighted, I read it in every translation I can find to get the understanding, and then God tells me which ones he wants shared. But in the Good News Bible, it says, last of all, starting verse 14, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples, because Judas was gone, as they were eating. Listen to this. He scolded them because they did not have faith and because they were too stubborn to believe those who had seen him alive. I need to stop right there for a moment. Jesus is coming and he's getting ready to give a world-changing command. And you would have thought that after 3.5 years of personal one-on-one interaction with Jesus, they'd have been ready. But when he went to them, the first thing he had to do was get on their case for having a lack of faith. And that, unfortunately, I need to say it this way, caused it allowed me to understand that everybody, no matter how much word you've been exposed to, everybody's not going to grab hold of faith for whatever reason. Because not only did they not lack in faith, they didn't believe the people who said they saw him. And I'm thinking that means there's some times that folks are going to come and they're going to share their exploits for God. They're going to share how God works through them. And like, yeah, okay. Okay, and I know that. I know the people live happily ever after. Yeah. No, like Pastor Clinton wrote one of his songs, this isn't a fairy tale. It's not a nursery rhyme. We're talking about the creator of the universe, and we need to have faith to believe what he said. So the first thing Jesus had to do was he had to scold them because it says they didn't have faith and they were stubborn. But then he just told them that, and he still gave them the instructions. So that also lets us know that just because we may choose not to believe or we don't want to do it, doesn't release us from the command. Because it said he went on and said to them, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all people. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believers, say that's me because I'm a believer. Okay. Believers will be given the power to perform miracles. They will say, that's still me. Drive out demons in my name. They will say, it's me again. Speak in strange tongues. If they say, it's still me, I can't get away from this. Go ahead, say it. Okay. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be harmed. And they will, say that means I will, lay their hands on sick people and these will get well. That's what he said. He didn't say might or maybe. He said they will. The name of God Bible, names of God Bible, it says, still later, Yeshua appeared to the 11 apostles while they were eating. He put them to shame for their unbelief and because they were too stubborn to believe those who had seen him alive. Then Yeshua said to them, so wherever you go in the world, is there anybody that goes any place that's not in this world? Okay. All right. So that means wherever you go, tell everyone the good news. Period. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. Company just means they will be with. One definition said it will be in. So these are the signs. They will use the power and authority of my name to force demons out of people. They will speak new languages. They will pick up. Every time I read that one, Pastor Ed, I think about our brother in Mexico he didn't take one Rosetta Stone class. In 2 months, God gave him fluent Spanish. 2 months. His attitude was, God, you're sending me to Mexico. You have to give me the language. The word says they will speak new languages. He speaks fluent Spanish after 2 months. They will pick up snakes, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick and cure them. Why did I share those two different accounts? Because in both accounts, God is using people, his chosen people, to get the power from heaven to go to all of mankind. He expects us to be channels for his power to flow through. Because it's got to have a channel. And he expects it to be us. That's why I said, wherever we go, we lay hands on the sick. When you do that, you're not healing them. I hope you didn't think you were. No, but what you're doing is you're allowing God's power to flow through you to the other person. And sometimes you don't even have to lay hands on them. You just have to speak the word God gives you. Well, why does that work? Because he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you speak that word and you speak it with authority because you believe it, power comes out of you onto that other person. It's not always necessary to lay hands. Amen. Well, we have an account of that with the centurion. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. But we need to understand that it requires our having faith in who God is and what he said. I mean, how many times did he say, your faith had made you whole? Be it unto you according to your faith. Saying, what I said was true. Whether or not you receive it depends on you believing it. But what I said was true. We need to take the position, I believe what you said was true. I'm speaking. I'm trampling. I'm laying hands. I'm going. Because you told me to go into all the world and take this thing to everybody. That's what I'm doing. So wherever I go, your power is going to emanate from me. Why? Because I stay connected. You know, I was thinking about how I could do this. And I figured the safest thing to do is just tell you about it. But there's a new product on the market. It's probably been out a couple of years. It's a hose. Right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right? And my honey bought one for us. Beg pardon? Yeah, I did, but I was going to get it. She just got it for me. And because we have a hose. But just like on the infomercial, I had to buy one of those carriers. And it's not as bad as they may do it on the infomercial. You know, I'm not there. No. But it's bulky. It is. And it's heavy. And they have this flexible hose. It's in a container about this big. But it's collapsed. But when it's connected and the faucet's turned on, it just fills up with water, and the water just comes out. And when I first started thinking about it, my thought was, yeah, that's who we are. And God said, resoundingly, no, you're not. I'm like, but I thought it was a good analogy. And he said, is not. So my next question was, why? He said, because it only gets full when you think there's a need for it. You're supposed to stay full because you never know when you're going to be needed. And I was like, I like your analogy better. Okay. See, we walk around collapsed. And then we see a situation and we think that, like that, we're just going to swell up with the power of God. No, we need to stay full. Because there may not... Now, just think about it. If we said, well, I need to water the lawn. Okay, what do I... Okay, I got to get the hose. I got to go to the source and take the time and connect it. Then I have to take it to where it needs to go and put the right end on it and then use it. Well, what if you don't have that kind of time? You see a situation, you go... Ooh, I'm supposed to do something. Get my word. Okay, I know there's a scripture for that somewhere. Where is it? Oh, no. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be ready. And when we hear something, because we're analogous with God, we know immediately what we're supposed to say or what we're supposed to do, and we just act. And the power just comes right out. But if we don't stay full, it's not going to happen. We have to understand that. He expects that we're going to be channels. Now, I looked up some definitions, as I always do, and I found out that the word channel can be either a noun or a verb. It can be a bed of a stream, river, or waterway. But it can be a navigable route between two bodies of water. In other words, it's a path from point A to point B, channel. It's a course into which something may be directed. It's a means of access. In electronics, a channel is a radio frequency or frequencies. Like, you know, you turn to channel 7, channel 9, you know, hopefully you turn to the gospel channel. You know, they're all frequencies. And I started thinking about that, and I said, you know something? See, Ben was on the same channel as the Holy Ghost. He was tuned into the same frequency. So he heard the God words that would bring power when they went through him to us, or really to whomever he speaks them. We have to make sure that we stay on the same frequency so that we hear clearly. You know what happens when you're on these weak frequencies? You get a lot of static. You can't. So when we're in tune with God, we hear clearly. When there's nothing else there to cause any static, we hear clearly. And once we hear clearly, we can act accurately. We will speak accurately. And the power will flow in full force. You know, I don't want to, you go to water your lawn or wash your car or something, you hit that nozzle and a trickle comes out because somewhere along the line, there's a little kink. It's been bent. See, it's our responsibility to make sure that there are no kinks in the line. As a verb, it's used to convey through, like, you know, like you channel information, to direct towards some particular course. It's also a channel. That's what we're supposed to, that's what we do, actually, when we get a report and we go get into combat mode and we release a word, we're sending it to something. We're not just putting it out there in the air. It has a specific purpose. So how do you know that? God said, my word will not return to me void. It will or shall accomplish what I set it out to accomplish. So that means it has a purpose. And we direct it. That's why if you're speaking to someone about healing, the word probably won't come out about financial prosperity. It's going to come out about healing. And that word is going to change the state of that individual because you allowed it to come through you. It came from heaven to earth through you to a circumstance. And the circumstance had to bow down and back away. But if you don't believe and you don't allow yourself to be a channel, there's no change. And we get held accountable because God's going to ask us, Jesus, he's going to ask us at the judgment seat, why didn't we believe? And as I shared earlier, yes, that may be, there may be a reason, but it's not going to give us a pass on our responsibility. I mean, I remember once we went through Easy Pass, and for whatever reason, it just didn't register. And it was a ministry vehicle. And a notice came here, and they wanted the toll plus an administrative fee. And I said to them, well, no, all of our vehicles have tags. And this car went through, and for whatever reason, your equipment malfunctioned. And they didn't want to buy the reason. They still said, yeah, well, that may be true, but you have to pay this administrative fee. I said, we're not paying the administrative fee because according to your rules, see, first of all, you have to know what you're talking about.
All right.
Okay. I said, your rules state you check, and if we have an active account, we just pay the toll. Have you checked? Hold on. And they came back and they said, didn't say, I'm sorry, said, okay, we'll waive the fee. And I just said, thank you. That's why, no, you're not going to make us pay a penalty when we didn't do anything wrong. But see, if we didn't have, I couldn't say to them, oh, well, we forgot, you know, we got busy and, you know, we forgot to prepay the toll. But if you check our records, we always do this. You don't have an active account. That is your responsibility to make. We did our responsibility. We let you pass. It was easy. Now you just. But because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, there's this penalty now that's been assessed to you. I don't want any penalties assessed to me because I refuse to do what God has told me to do. Especially when it's 100% in my control to do it. So you have to realize, nobody can stop you from doing what God has told you to do if you've made up your mind to do it. Because you're going to do it anyway. Because your attitude is going to be the same as the apostles. Whether or not to obey you or God, you judge. But I can only do the same things that I have seen and heard. Period. And you go on and you do it. And you be the channel that God wants you to be. So we're Christ's ambassadors. That's clear. The Bible tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. So that means all his power should be flowing through us all the time. We just have to make sure we're on the right frequency and we're doing the things that he said. In Mark 16 again, just going back there, remember Jesus had to scold the disciples for lacking faith. We have to understand, because Jesus understood this, and that's why he scolded them. If you don't have faith, you won't obey, because you won't believe. How many of you obey people you don't believe in? Exactly. Exactly. And you don't care what they say. You don't believe, some of you, I'm not trying to be funny, but some of you won't believe the things that we try and tell you because you say, I hear from God and I didn't hear this. And you missed something. I will give you pastors after my own heart. Okay. We miss that sometimes. And I'm not just saying you, I was there at one point also where I did some things that I didn't want to listen to. And then I found out when I listened, it worked. There's a difference. You know, but I was never going to be stupid. I've proven something didn't work. I'm not going to keep on doing it. Okay. Right. See, but if you're wondering why me and Pastor Ed and Pastor Sarah, why we take the positions that we take and say some things the way we say them, you see, we understand that your behavior, that your speech, that your thoughts are always going to be based on your level of faith, period. And so we have to say things that'll get you over into faith. So you'll start thinking right and speaking right and acting right. But if we don't do that, you'll think wrong. You'll speak wrongly. You'll act in manners that are not pleasing to God. And then we get held accountable. So we have to say what we say, the way we say. Because we love you too much to just leave you out there. I want to read this account. I have one more and I'm going to I'm going to quit. But in Matthew 9, it's important that you understand that what you accomplish, whatever it is, going to be based on your level of faith. Whether or not you allow yourself to be a channel for the power of God is going to be based on your level of faith. Matthew 9, I'm in the Amplified Bible, beginning at verse 27. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, shouting loudly, "Have pity and mercy on us, Son of David." When he reached the house and went in, the blind man came to him. I'm like, man, they were able to find their way in the house, even though they were blind. That tells me if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. Okay. When he reached the house and went in, the blind man came to him. How'd they know? I mean, you got to, I don't know if you're like, but I think about all those things. I'm like, they blind. How did they know where he was? It didn't say they came in and bumbled all around the house and finally they found him. They came in and went to him. Why? The Holy Ghost will draw people to you. Because God has equipped you to give them something that they need. He'll make sure they get to you. Yes, yes. As long as you are where you're supposed to be. All right. They came to him and Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." They didn't say, "I think so." They said, "Yes, Lord." They said, "Yes, and I'm submitted to you." That's what he said, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done to you." He could have said, "According to your faith and trust and reliance on the power channeled through me." But what's important is to understand that he was saying to them, it's going to happen based on who you believe I am. If you believe I am the Christ and I have this power flowing through me, that's what you'll have. If you don't believe that, you're going to stay blind. All right? In verse 30 said, and their eyes were opened. Why? Because they had faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in Jesus. And they believed that that power would come out of Jesus onto their eyes and they would see. And that's the way we need to be as both the channel and the recipient. Because there are times when we're the recipient of it. We have to believe that whomever the individual is that God has selected to minister, that power is flowing through them to meet your need. Hallelujah. And it's going to be done according to your faith. In the Message Bible, Jesus said, "Do you really believe I can do this?" This is why I like the Message Bible. It's so colorful, you really can't miss it. I'll start from the beginning. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by, there again. I think he was followed by two blind men. I mean, with me, I'd be walking this way. I said, "They're blind, huh? Let me go over here and see where they go." All right. He turned around. They still there. Okay. What? They're drawn by the power. All right. He was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this? Do you really believe I'm a channel for God's power?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." We have to remember that. We are always, say, I am always going to become what I believe. That's what he said to them. Become what you believe. They believed that if he touched them, they would be able to see. They became what they believed. It's that simple.
Hallelujah.
It's that simple. After that, it says, it happened. They saw. It happened. That's the way it's supposed to work with believers. God tells you, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You lay hands in faith, it happens. It happens. Why? You became what you believed. You believed that you were a channel for his power. And you acted like it. But I want to finish with Matthew 28. Very important. And I'm going to give you one example in Acts. Verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples in the Message Bible, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountains Jesus had set up for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Next verse. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. See, God said, we're going to read this. This lets us know that some of us are going to have an issue with believing, an issue with faith. Jesus was meeting with his original disciples, all except Judas. They had been with him 3.5 years. They experienced things firsthand, yet some were still unsure about going all the way. They did not see themselves as channels of his power. They saw themselves as being at risk. See, God is going to tell you to do some things, and you're going to have to make a choice. Either I'm a channel for his power, or I'm at risk. And if you believe that you are at risk, you will hold back.
Amen.
You will hold back. Why? Because there's a possibility of incurring misfortune or loss. There's a vulnerability. And you're not willing to make yourself vulnerable. That's what it was with me. I wasn't willing to make. Hey, Foots didn't make himself vulnerable to nobody. I know it's anybody. I didn't do it to nobody. Why? Because the only person I could trust was me. And then I was required to put my trust in someone that I can't see. I'm supposed to let it go totally. Well, I didn't do that at first. I wasn't willing to just let it all go. I was willing to just keep a pinky on. Just in case. Okay? Just in case I needed to make sure there was something there to fall back on. And it wasn't until I took both hands off, and I didn't really understand that. Again, until Mom gave us the analogy of the trapeze artist. They need to go to the next swing coming over. They have to, and I mean, it's coming, they're swinging this way, it's coming behind them. They have to let go with both hands and just turn around and reach out. That's what they have to do. They have to have absolute faith and trust that what's supposed to be there when they get there will be there. But what's important is they need to let go at the right time. They need to turn at the right time. It can't be let go. Well, let me think about this now. Wisdom says that I need to make sure. And by the time you've figured that out and you say, okay, it's safe, you let go, it's too late. And you find yourself looking down as the ground is coming to meet you at about 150 miles an hour. Exactly. Okay. So we need to understand. Here's the question he told me to ask. How can you consider the possibility of failure or injury if you're operating in faith? And the answer to that question is, you can't. If you're operating in faith, there is no possibility of failure or injury. Why? Because faith says, I'm going to do what God said. Faith says, I'm going to be what God said. And now look at Acts. I'm unhooking with this. Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together. I'm in the King James. Okay. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He was begging for money. And so when they were going in, he asked them for money. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Okay, he had to get the person to focus. Remember one of the reasons they couldn't cast out the demon? He said, "No focus to your lives." So they said, "We need to get this boy to focus on us." And so that's what they said. "Look on us," right? And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. Like, yeah, you know, because, you know, they're going to give me something. Boy, I'm getting some money from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." See, Peter was saying, my purpose is not to give you what you want. My purpose here right now is to be a channel to get to you what you need. Okay? He wanted money. He needed to be able to walk. All right? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, they didn't take time and read this man's medical history and find out, well, you know, if he's been like this from his mother's womb, then, well, you know, this is the way God made him, so there's nothing to heal. He is never right. No, God said, "You will lay hands on the sick, they will recover." They said, "If there's something wrong, when I lay hands, it's going to be all right." Said, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Where did that strength come from? Heaven. It went through Peter into this man's ankle bones, and they received strength. Now you have a situation where this person who had to be carried there, it said, and he leaping stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He went from being an invalid to a praiser. Okay? Why? Because Peter was willing to be a channel for God's power. Didn't concern himself with circumstances. Mm-hmm. See, we'll look at that and we'll I'm telling you, the first time God had me, it was right over there. Someone came down and they were limping. And God said to me, "One of their legs is shorter than the other." And I'm like, "I'm not Pastor Sarah." Okay. I kid you not. I'm like, "Oh boy." Okay. I'm like, "Okay, God, I'm going to do what you said." I mean, Deacon Alice was standing there. She screamed before the woman did. Okay. Because all I did, I put her ankle, you know, held her by her ankle and a calf. And before I could say anything, it just went just like that. I mean, I almost dropped it. We'll go, whoa. You know, I mean, I was just willing to be a channel.
Hallelujah.
To do what I've been taught, to do what's been demonstrated. I just did the same thing. And God did the same thing. I mean, that's what I'm just trying to get you folks to get to the place where you just believe. You can do every single thing that Bible says you can do. You just have to believe it. That's all you have to do. That's all Peter did. He believed. God said, all the nations through us will be blessed. He expects us to go into all the world and dispense the power of the gospel. That's his expectation. And he's not backing down from it. So the only question really is, because God's not backing down, what are you going to do? I'm done. Father, we thank you. We do thank you, Lord, not just for your word, but we thank you for the demonstrations of your power. And we have chosen to believe everyone to the point where we will do the same things that we've seen you do through other people. Father, no longer will we hesitate. We will be quick to respond to your voice and do exactly what you said, because the power that you gave us is not to stay in us, it's to flow through us on behalf or for the benefit of your people. Your people. We have the assurance that you take care of us. Now we need to go out and do what we're supposed to do on behalf of all the other people so that they get the same assurance. They know that just like you take care of us, you take care of them if they believe you like we do. Show us each day, Father, how to live that out. Because that's ultimately, that's our desire, to live it out, to be living epistles, living demonstrations, living examples of your power through us who believe for all of mankind. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.